Greetings in the light of the most radiant one. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you are listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. God evening, beloveds of the Heart of God. I'm excited tonight because I want to speak about something that's very, very precious and very dear to my heart. And it's our divine cosmic origin as cosmic people of light, as a family of light. We often speak about integration of our multidimensional selves. And one of the simplest and easiest way is lineage, getting a sense of your upline. Your lineage of descent through the spiritual hierarchy is what defines you in terms of your spiritual work. It qualifies you, gives you the authority, and enables you to function in a multidimensional, integrative fashion. This enables you to step forward with confidence when you know who you are, where you've come from, and the basic definitive of the offices of the divine world through which you have extended as an emanation of the consciousness, love, light, and wisdom of the divine creator. First of all, I've often said that the Ashtar Galactic Command represents the 12th kingdom, or the divine throne worlds. Well, that goes without saying then, if you're part of that extension, and we won't limit it to the Ashtar Galactic Command because we're going to be looking at several different ways that we could serve in the greater omniverse. But let's say it this way. You had to get here somehow, didn't you? Well, we're off in the taxi that you took. So the Galactic Command, or the Jerusalem, Orion Jerusalem Command, the Fleets of the Solar Cross, the Ashtar Command, the Jupiter Command, all of these are basically the Victory One fleets of Commander Valiant Thor. These are all throne world commands that come forward through the divine offices that I'm going to be speaking of now. And basically, these are Ophanim messenger beings who operate through Merkaba. Merkaba being the aerial chariots, or the cloud densifications that are spoken of so often in the Bible. Over and over again, you see people being caught up in the fiery chariots, which would be Merkaba, or clouds. When Jesus left in his ascension, he went up into a cloud that spoke. Now, I don't know about you, but I've never seen a cloud that spoke, nor have I ever seen anyone that was taken up into a cloud. So what we're talking about is a Merkaba, or a higher dimensional vehicle, not necessarily what we'd call a nuts and bolts UFO, no. Those are often of the lower worlds and beings in the astral realms. But the divine lords of light work in what is called the Zohar body, which is a superluminal, transdimensional vehicle of interdimensional communication, translocation, and motility, moving in hyperspace and in and out of gravitational flux lines and their juxtapositioning in time-space continuums. In a sense, it is a technology that we will begin to explore more and more in the times ahead. It is part of the metatronic sciences, the sciences of living light and living sound, which are just now starting to percolate down into the consciousness realms of more advanced and more expanded awareness within the scientific community. Leaving that subject and moving on, the divine throne worlds are the imperishable star worlds that do not go into dissolution and entropy, death, or any of the fallen things that characterized condensation of light in limitation and ego-based fields of Maya and illusion. So the throne worlds would be defined in most of our understanding as the infinity realms, the realms of the eternal, the infinite way, the mansions within mansions, the mansion worlds, but they're in the soul plane, which would be the fifth and above realms and dimensions, the fifth up to the 12th. We're going to stop at the 12th because that gives us enough for our brains to wrap around. And so let's just use that as our benchmark, that the 12th kingdom represents the divine throne worlds. The throne realms are realms of administration that step down the divine plan of Yod-Heh-Vod-Heh in time and space. Again, I have mentioned that each letter in Yod-Heh-Vod-Heh, Y-H-W-H, as it's often spelled, actually defines each one a separate universe and a separate divine program. The program that's currently being worked out is being worked out through the Eloha, which is the singular of Elohim, the Eloha Yehovah. And that is the Adamic seed race of which humanity is now the exemplar. So we have the throne realms, and the high prince, the highest magistrate of the throne realms, would be Lord Metatron, who is sometimes called El Shaddai, the Almighty in the Bible, and El Elyon, which is the Most High God. Again, we are looking at principalities and rays and extensions of the great Godhead as it steps down into throne realm administrative offices. The office through which all of us come in to do the work of God, if we're truly light workers, is the office of the Christ. The Christ, again, is a Greek word which means the anointed ones. So it is the office of the anointed ones, which is held by a trinity of Yeshua, that is to say Jesus, Moshe, or Moses, and Eliyahu, or Elijah. These are great beings. Jesus brought the garment of redemption, salvation. Moses brought the Torah of living light. And Elijah brought the science of Merkabah. Together they work with 144 ascended masters. The work of the ascended masters and Christ Michael, who is also a paradise son through Christ Jesus, they came through to bring redemption and transformation and purification to this fallen universe. This office includes all of the ascended masters who've worked for the liberation of mankind throughout the world in all the various periods of time. So within that, you would hear names that would be Egyptians, and names that would be in the Vedas, and names that would be in Tibetan scriptures. You would find the names that would unify all of the religious traditions pretty much within the office of Christ. Now, they all work under the Son of God, the one who brought redemptive salvation to the planet, which is Jesus the Christ. So they all line up in service under his authority. The priesthood of Melchizedek would be the place where we function. We come in and serve after the order of Melchizedek. The elect of the order of Melchizedek are the sons of light. And these are beings like ourselves who have chosen to come into the world of form and to manifest the sovereign will of Yod-Heh-Vod-Heh. The sovereign will is that all of us should return back to its original pre-fallen state. So we're part of that transmutation. As we live our lives, as we walk about, eat, breathe, sleep, interchange with people, exchange, beget children, whatever, we are using the elements of earth, wind, fire, water, ether, atma, the spirit, the soul, jiva, the jivatma, the personality. We are co-inhabiting all of the different expressions of the different kingdoms of nature and mixing them in with our light coats. By doing that, by our awakening within these vehicles and vestiges of light, which are actually made up of these elements, we are actually, in fact, transmuting them and bringing them into light. So in a sense, we are all functioning as Christed beings in that redemptive, reclaiming process of infusing matter with light and thereby allowing it to raise in vibration and ascend. The Order of Melchizedek is a universal order, intergalactic and interplanetary, which basically we are mediators of loving understanding. We are the mediators of peace. We are the mediators who go in and settle disputes in the various realms where there's been galactic battles. We are the bridge over troubled waters, as Simon and Garfunkel used to sing. They were probably priests of the Order of Melchizedek. Who knows? But you can pretty well tell if you're in that order, if you feel like you're the caretaker of the world and are always trying to make the world that you live in better because you've been in that place. It's sort of an attitude that is very characteristic of people. I know when I was a little girl, I used to feel like I was the oldest person on the planet. I felt like everyone was my child, including my parents. I felt like I had to take care of everyone, that I had to tell everyone, you know, how they needed to live to be pleasing to God. I mean, I was a crazy little kid. But in a sense, I was a very awake child that remembered having come from the divine worlds. And I knew I was on an Earth assignment a good 20 years before I even knew what that assignment was. All I know is I was here to bring the love of God to people and to awaken them to that love. So the Order of Melchizedek is a vast community of which you are a member, and it represents the light on all planets. The Order of Melchizedek also holds the keys to the opening of the heavens and knowledge of the contact areas on Earth. So we're in constant communication with the higher celestial and ultra-terrestrial beings of light and the communities of those beings throughout the galaxy. Throughout the universe, really, and the brotherhoods of light, the many of which, many brotherhoods of light, we know of the Great White Brotherhood here on Earth, but every single planet has their own hierarchy and their own logos. So we're talking about a very, very vast community and family of light of which we are part. So in coming in, we work to unify and to bring some sort of a harmonic in our various endeavors so that we can recognize each other as who we are and be about this greater work, which this planet, Earth, is just one of many that we go to transition and graduate and ascend when their time of the educational program for that particular planet is completed. So here we are on Earth, which is in a process of graduating and moving to its next level. And it's just one more planet that we are ascending. So get a sense of that. Begin to take on board the vastness of your mission, the eternal life that you're living right now, and your connection. Begin to see that connection. I want you to align now with that. Take a deep breath. See yourself as stepping down through the throne worlds, the imperishable star worlds, the imperishable divine infinities of infinities, through the infinite way of the Christ, stepping down through the office of the Christ, stepping into and through the Order of Melchizedek, and taking your place upon Earth as a member of the priesthood of the Order of Melchizedek. This is a royal priesthood that are able to receive the direct voice of Yod-Heh Vod-Heh and know the will of God, and to participate in the active sanctification of the people of light. We are also here to organize those communities of light so that we can survive during the times ahead when there will be a clashing of the armies of the world and the convulsions of the earth as it goes through its final cleansings. So in a sense, we are also the watchmen on the walls. We are the watchmen of Zion that stay and watch and protect the sacred things of God and the sacred people of God. We are those who render assistance to the poor, the helpless, the elderly, the orphaned, those who have no other refuge. Every single priest, nun, sadhu, and true servant of God has taken a vow which has linked them to the Order of Melchizedek. The Order of Melchizedek is an eternal order, and it's spoken of in Hebrews, the 7th chapter, in the 3rd verse. And in that eternality, it has foreordained its priests and programs before the world, this world that we live in, was even created. In the background, we used to be small communities that were spread all over. We were poets and scientists and patriarch priests And all of the ones that used to have to hide in the caves and meet in the Qumran, for example, the Qumran community above the Dead Sea, that was one of our communities. We attended to the Word of God when that Word was usurped and brought into darkness through dark agents that had infiltrated the Brotherhood that was forming around the early formation of the churches. There was a great infiltration to try to derail the truth and try to limit it into mindsets, which then went in variance to the very freedom that the order comes to do and to represent. Christ came to set the captives free. And since Christ resurrected his body, he is the eternal high priest forever and ever. He can never be replaced because the priest is only replaced when he passes away. So Jesus overcame death, so he is the eternal high priest after the order of Melchizedek. So we come right into that. And in these early patriarchal communities, and don't get upset if I say patriarchal, because until in this fallen age of the Kali Yuga, the Iron Age, women were treated very much like possessions, like chattels. They had no freedom at all to operate and to have any kind of recognition until Jesus came. When Jesus came, his first message was given to a Gentile. His first evangelist was a Gentile, which he hadn't even come for the Gentiles at that point. He'd come only to save the lost of the house of Israel. After his resurrection, then the door was opened for the Gentile nations to be grafted in. So his first message was given to a person that wasn't even Jewish. That's amazing. And then the first person to see him after he resurrected was a woman. The first person to sound the news to the other apostles was that same woman who said he is risen. His mother, Mary, is venerated throughout the world as the Divine Mother. So really it was Jesus who brought the nobility back to the feminine, the divine feminine. And that was a prophetic act in the sense that he was pointing to the next universe, the Shekinah universe that we are moving into, which will be the universe characterized by the divine feminine, which is the place that we are moving into now. That's what we're graduating into, from a sun universe to a Holy Spirit universe. So it's all very interesting when you understand how it all fits together, and in that understanding then we have the confidence to step forth and to do that which we have come. So the order of Melchizedek also delineates for you the line of spiritual travelers, which as I spoke on our last program, there are three energies. There's the negative energy, the positive energy, and there's the energy of the divine beloved that goes up right through the middle of it and links both of them so that there is a healing and a communicating that dissolves the sense of duality and unifies us all back into the one flow of grace. And that comes in through what's called the way showers or the spiritual travelers. Now, the spiritual travelers started to take their formation through the generations of Adam. Since, remember again, the Melchizedeks come in to superintend and to foster the Adamic seed. We are on this planet called the Adamic seed. Science has traced back our DNA to a single pair of parents, which we know as Adam and Eve. There are many Eves and many Adams throughout the planetary systems. Every single original seed program has an Adam and Eve. And originally, our Adam and Eve in the Syrian system were called Osa and Osi, or Osiris and Isis. So you're going to hear some different names that mean the very same thing as you study. And I hope that you do study, because without study of the scriptures, without study of wonderful books like the Keys of Enoch, you're not going to really know what's going on here. and you won't have the power, the authority, and the ability to function really well if you haven't read the instruction manual. So the generations of Adam are the beginning of the work of Melchizedek on earth through the fathers of the patriarchal order of Yod-Heh-Vod-Heh. So through this order, we have the power to subdue principalities, the powers that divide, the demonic powers. We have powers over devils and powers over all things negative, because we come with the authority of Almighty God into those lower realms, and we can kick serious butt, pardon the phraseology here. So the generations of Adam are the sons of light. When we call people the B'nai Or, the sons of light, this is your upline lineage. Of course, you can find this in the Bible. And the Bible is the history of the Adamic seed. So if you want to know the full story of the seed program here on earth and the history that is your own genealogy, you only need to read the Bible and you will get it. And if you get a good amplified version, I think you'll find it really is the greatest story ever told. Or the Message Bible, that's even easier to understand. Or the Living Bible, the Living Bible. It's great. You'll love it. Anyway, the sons of light, which are the generations of Adam, are Adam, Seth, Enosh, Kenan, Mahalalel, Jared, Enoch, Methuselah, Lamech, and Noah. And they shared the divine sonship and were delivered by the order from which they descended. So, in a sense, when Noah was lifted up on the waters of the ark, that was a form and a type and a foreshadowing of the ascension of the righteous people, a foretelling of the time that we would be lifted above the convulsions of the earth as the earth went into its serious purification and wickedness was cleansed from the earth. The term wicked comes from the word wicker, or a wicked thing is something that's crooked. In other words, a wicker in the old days used to put the wicks in the candles. And if a wick was wicked, that is, it was turned sideways, then of course the candle wouldn't burn properly and would probably catch your house on fire. So a wicked person is a person who is crooked and perverse and takes a direction away from what would bring, in this analogy of the candle, which would bring a straight upright flame. They're not in alignment. So I want all of you who hear our program, who are members of our command and our ground fleets, and those who are ones that would aspire to move into this in this lifetime, that you make yourself straight. It's said that God's ministers are a flame of fire, and we are the candles of the Lord. So be an upright candle without any trace of wickedness or crookedness in you. Be upright and straight in all that you do. And then you can know that you're a member of the priesthood of Melchizedek on earth and you are the light of the world. So, we have an absolutely incredible heritage that goes beyond lower priesthoods. There were many other priesthoods that came in our planetary history. There were the Gnostics, the Ebonites, the Gnostic Ebonites, the Nazareans, and others, which were like a shadow and a foretelling of the fullness that came in with the order of Melchizedek. So it's a very, very precious thing when you can acknowledge yourself within that order. There are people on the planet who do ordinations in the order of Melchizedek, the priesthood of Melchizedek. I can't remember the name of the man that travels around the United States that does that. And then there's others. My own teacher, John Roger, initiates us into the order of Melchizedek, the priesthood of Melchizedek. The order is off-planet. The priesthood is on-planet. That's the definition here. So, you know, it's available for you. And you cannot be ordained too many times in that order. It is something that Ashtar has said is very, very important for people because it decodes your light, the light codes that are part of your divine genetics are activated and fired up when you recommit yourself through the Order of Melchizedek. Okay, so from thence I want to look at two lineages that are very important for you to be aware of. The first one that you're probably more familiar with, well, let's go back to the Order of Melchizedek. Okay, so this is the order after the Son of God, which would be after or in the lineage of Jesus the Christ. Now, from that lineage, there has come a lineage of the orders of the Word, the living Word, which would be sound current teachings. My lineage that I work with through my teacher, John Roger, in the movement of spiritual inner awareness, is the John lineage, the lineage of John the Beloved. John the Beloved was the ascended master that received the keys of consciousness transformation and translocation through Jesus when he was on the cross, and he looked down and he said, "Son, behold thy mother," referring to his mother Mary. "Mary, behold thy son." In that moment, the keys to the kingdom were bestowed to him. Most people think they were given to Peter, but actually Peter denied the Christ and ran away and was not present to receive the keys. He sort of diverged, and from him came other wonderful things, came the formalized church. The John lineage has a lot more to do with the inner secret teachings of the sound of God, the living Word, which is the sound current or the voice of the Logos or the voice of the silence. It is the chorusing of the praise of God that you can attune to that becomes for you a tracking device as you travel multidimensionally out of your body and into the inner realms. You can define which realm you're traveling in by the light and sound of that realm, the colors of that realm. And you can become quite adept at moving in and out of the body, being caught up in the spirit, as they refer to it in the Bible. This order is the only order that goes to the highest throne realms, is the spiritual travelers. Most religions come out of the top of the mental plane, which is called the third heaven in the Bible. That is the staging arena for every known religious church, practically without exception. Some of them come in on a lower level from the astral plane, but most of them find their home in Trikuti or Kailash or the top of the mental plane. So those are some of the ways it's described to people, or the third heaven as it's spoken of in the Bible. There are many levels of heaven. There are many levels of purification or hell worlds as well. Buddhism is very prolific in naming them. I think they have something like 30 heaven worlds and 30 hell worlds, or bardos. And in our particular tradition of Judeo-Christianity that most of us are more familiar with, there are 5 hell worlds. And they mention only 3 heaven worlds, but if you go into the deeper teachings, you'll find many more are listed. The Book of Enoch was originally to have been part of the Bible, so the Keys of Enoch is actually biblical scripture. It's just that when they put the Bible together, it would have been too big for anyone to lift if they put everything in that was sacred writ. So they kind of cut to the chase and they put the information in that the Holy Spirit guided them was most important for us to understand. But unfortunately, when you don't have the keys of Enoch, you don't understand the different orders of the sons of God, the different hierarchies, the different angelic workers, and you get a sort of limited, pared-down version of heaven and hell, Christ and Satan, and that's it. You don't understand that there are many, many wonderful lords of light and beings who work with Christ in administering the divine plan, of which you beloveds are also part of that. So many of you in the past remember running for your lives to preserve the teachings, whether you were trying to escape the convulsions of Atlantis and Lemuria. And I think that's why actually I love California so much. I have a sense that this is probably where I ran, at least some part of my consciousness. I didn't as Lady Athena, but part of my consciousness must have taken flight to California from the sinking Lemuria to bring some of the wisdom teachings here, because this area is filled with Lemurian energy and wisdom. There's so much wisdom and so much availability of teachings here in California, particularly in Southern California, that is absolutely amazing. So, we went to the Qumran, we hid in the catacombs, we took the teachings to the Celtic regions of Ireland, and the Celts actually were the Cymry who kind of spread throughout the Roman era. It wasn't just in Ireland and Scotland originally, but there was a lot more of the Celtic or the Cymry race of people that went throughout the ancient world. And wherever we went, we took the teachings of the Beloved, the teachings of the Living Word, and hid it away. So if you study most of the world religions, you will find that there's an inner core of teaching that deals with the sound current. And that is the lineage of the spiritual travelers. They, again, are the ones that take soul from the lower worlds and have the keys to consciousness transformation and soul transcendence, and they're able to take you beyond where most religions leave off. I don't know of any order that does that. Again, there are many orders. Ours in the MSIA come through the lineage of Jesus and John the Beloved. Ekankar comes in through all many lineages, but primarily I would say probably the Amdo region of Tibet, which is now up in China, the Mongolian area, also India and Venus, of course. We have a lineage that goes off planet into the other planets. You will find more of a flavor of the Persian, almost, that comes in the Ekankar lineages, which is a very, very wonderful lineage. And then you have the Sikh lineages. You have the various Singhs. There is Kirpal Singh and Sawan Singh and Darshan Singh and Sanchi Singh and all of the great Sikh masters that brought in the sound current teachings. They all go back and trace their lineage to Shivaji and to Guru Nanak and to also what was that great one that came? Ah, Kabir. Yes, Kabir. It said that Kabir was the one that brought the teachings out into the open world for the first time. Jalaluddin Rumi and Shams Tabriz were, again, Persian Sufi mystics who also were travelers and brought the teachings out into the Middle East. And it said that Satya Sai Baba was incarnated as Kabir. And then the teachings went even back at the very, very beginning to Lord Rama. And we know that Sai Baba was Lord Rama. So they trace all the way back to Rama in the Tretya Yuga, or the Golden Age of ancient times. So we're going way, way back. Probably we could say the Lemurian root race would be the time of Rama, and perhaps the Atlantean root race might have been started in Atlantis. We don't really know, do we? But it's interesting. I really love to study the spiritual travelers and the lineages through which we extend the light and love of God in time and space. It's a fascinating study and story. Again, we don't have a continuity of understanding for the simple reason that the wicked Nero burned the Alexandrian library down, and we lost 70,000 irreplaceable manuscripts that would have linked all of the major world religions together, and we would have seen a continuity of revelation. I will say this, that during the most recent fall in Atlantis, we were put under a quarantine from the Order of Melchizedek, which sealed us and our planet into the subtle bodies of the planet Earth, and we were not allowed to export our craziness out into the rest of the universe, and certainly not out to our even our neighboring planets. So that meant that up until the time that Jesus came to reopen that bridge to the higher worlds, we were pretty much recycling here from the astral world back to the physical earth, to the astral, to the physical, and back around and around like gerbils in a cage. And when Jesus the Christ came in, he reestablished the visible priesthood of Melchizedek on earth, starting with the priesthood of Levi, the Aaronic Brotherhood, and then the Order of Melchizedek, which he headed up. And then we were turned over to the spiritual travelers, again, as a direct, once again, visible in the outer world teaching. Sometimes this is called the Order of Zadok. Again, the Zadoks, or the Zadokim, were the righteous godly who preserved the spiritual teachings of the living word throughout time. So Jesus reopened the higher heavens, called the Infinite Way, and brought us out from under the law. The law used to be an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, and was very harsh. He brought in the law of grace, transcended the law through grace, and brought in love and redemption and restoration, and reclaimed our planet once again in the name of the Father for the kingdom, that the kingdom can be restored. And you and I are here to restore God's kingdom on earth. And that's the mission. That's what we're doing. We're importing love where there is hatred, healing where there is hatred, forgiveness where there is grievance, and darkness is replaced by the light that we bring. The understanding we bring replaces ignorance. So we've come in to do a vast job, but we don't do it alone. We do it as a great, great great family of light. As I said before, there's approximately 4 million members of the Ashtar Command living on Earth. That's quoted from Tuella. I haven't actually counted. I don't have that many fingers and toes, but I'll take her word for it. She was definitely a sister from the throne worlds, and definitely was functioning within the priesthood of Melchizedek. You can always tell the teachings of the Melchizedeks because they are love-based, and they are grace-based, and they are they have the ability to transform you and to enable you to transcend all the levels of limitation. They provide those keys that enable you to unlock those higher levels and move up freely. They set you free. So that lineage is through the sound of God, the sound current. And there are three types of initiations that you can have. There are the mystery school initiations, which most of us are familiar with through the Great White Brotherhood, the Ascended Masters of this planet, the Ascended Masters of Shambhala. Then you have the Academies of Light, which are they're the products of those of us who have graduated from the mystery schools. We establish Academies of Light then. There will be Academies of Future Science cropping up more and more now as science and religion become merged, as they should have always been and need to be once again. You have the Avatar lineage I want to speak about. First of all, the word avatar simply means a soul that has come down from a higher dimension or realm, and they embody a principle of divinity, a quality, or an aspect of the divine. Those that embody an aspect, for example, like Sri Ramakrishna, who embodied the aspect of divine detachment, Yogananda, who was the embodiment of divine love and devotion. Sri Yukteswar, who was an embodiment of wisdom. These would be called Anga avatars. Sri Aurobindo and Sweet Mother were avatars. They were embodying, they were individual avatars according to Sai Baba. I don't know really what that means, but we'll just quote him on that. Then there's a Loka avatar, which Sai Baba is, Purna avatar, full avatar, And he embodies, as I said last week, the Father, Mother, God principle, or divine truth. And that's what his name means. Satya Sai Baba means truth, divine mother, divine father. And so then you have avatars like you folks, many of you, we who have come from other planets, particularly those of us who didn't have to come. We came because we wanted to. We wanted to be of service. We would also be called avatars. In one of my interviews with Sai Baba, there were nine of us sitting with him on the floor in a big circle. And he said to us, "You are all avatars." And he held out his hands and he said, "I am a server. You see these hands? These hands have come only to give. They never take. What do you want? Swami has the power to give you anything you want." Well, if you think any one of us could speak at that point, you're mistaken. We sure couldn't. We just sat there and looked at him like deer in the headlights. But, and of course, I didn't have a clue back in those days what any of this meant, so I went and looked it up in my Sanskrit dictionary, what's an avatar? And an avatar is one who has come down from a higher world to be of service to Earth. So, in a sense, the soul, or the jivi, not the jivi so much as the atma, and when you're walking in the atma, in that spirit, in that divine self, then you are manifesting your avatarship. And if you look at your nature, you will pretty much see what you're an avatar of. What are you doing? How are you expressing your life? I think probably I'm an avatar in my aspect of divine adoration, because I think more than anything in the world, what I love to do is to sing to God. I love to worship God and sing to Him. And that's probably where I lose myself the most totally and become most fully what I truly am. So begin to look at yourself and stalk yourself and see if you can discover the aspect that you embody that is your bottom line when everything else is reduced. If you were a little doll with a key on your back and they wound you up, what would you do? That's probably your divine essence. It's wonderful to know the self, because when you know the self with a capital S, you will know the divine self which dwells within you, which is none other than the Lord Himself. You are the Lord's house. You're His temple. You're His place of domicile. And that is so important to keep in your mind. So have I explained well these lineages? Let me see if I can think of anything I've missed here. Yes, avatars actually come to make God visible. In other words, Sai Baba has said that we really can't appreciate something without a form, really, because we have form. So our nature is to want to see a form to be able to place our love with and to be able especially to talk to and ask questions and go see and all of that. So the avatar always comes. The Purna avatar and full avatars would be Rama, Krishna. In fact, there's 10. If you read the Vedas, there are 10 avatars of Vishnu. Sai Baba is, I believe, the 10th avatar of Mahavishnu. I believe he's the Kalki avatar. And I believe that he is the rider on the white horse that is spoken of in the Vedas. And I know he's the rider on the white horse that's spoken of in the 19th chapter, 11th to the 16th verse of Revelation. Because he said so, and because I was so privileged to be the first one to divulge that to the public through an article I wrote back in 1972, which was published in his magazine, Sanatana Sarati. So I know that's the truth. I was also seated at his feet when he made that declaration himself for the first time. It was Christmas of 72. Anyway, that's all history, and he will be in his body about another 15 years, and then he will leave his body, be born immediately as Prema Sai Baba. Prema Sai Baba will carry us on into the Golden Age and into some tremendous times ahead. And in that aspect, I believe he will manifest the full potentiality of what is called the Kalki Avatar. And that would be the rider on the white horse with a double-edged sword that proceeds from his mouth. And what that means is the sword of truth. Sai Baba has said that the world has become so tainted with evil that no one would survive if the divine avatar decided to uproot. Therefore, he has come to correct the buddhi, the intelligence principle. For we have forgotten the way to blessedness. So he has come to restore our remembrance of our divinity and what we're here on earth to do, what we're here to be and exemplify, which is the love of God. His teachings in a nutshell are, love all, serve all. You are divine. Love all, serve all. So, you know, it's the same message that each avatar brings. By the way, Jesus was not an avatar per se. By definition, he was not of that lineage. He was a Karana Janma, according to Sai Baba. A Karana Janma is a soul born for a specific purpose, and in this case, it was salvation. It was to be born and to willingly give his life on the cross to absolve you from the effects of the fall, to take all of the disease, all of the pain, all of the death, all of the awful stuff that entered in with the fall upon his own body, in his own self. He absorbed it all for all humanity. He took it to the cross. He died and overcame death when he resurrected 3 days later from the tomb. He conquered death. He conquered hell. He conquered the grave. And he opened the higher heaven so that we could approach God directly. For the first time, we could go to the Godhead and say, Abba, Abba, Father, Baba. And we could be accepted once again without any intermediary. He made it possible for us to go directly without going through anyone else directly. And also, he restored the Holy Spirit to earth so that the Holy Spirit came to indwell us. And that would enable us to do those greater works. So you know you're connected to the real truth when you can lay hands on someone and they're healed. You can resurrect the dead. You can cast out demons. You can speak and teach the gospel, the good news, with authority and power. You can do those greater works that Jesus did. And for everything that I've just said, you can take that into a deeper and deeper and deeper and more esoteric level, because there are so many levels that the truth comes in on, and we can only absorb the level that we have tilled the ground within us to prepare to receive, and no more and no less. So as we begin to enlarge our capacity to receive more from God, and we do that through prayer, through spending time with God, through meditating, through study of the Bible and other scriptures that will open your mind to greater understanding. The Keys of Enoch, I highly recommend. When you spend time in study, in prayer, in meditation, in worship, in expressing your gratitude to God, that enlarges your inner capacity. You begin to open up. And we must open. We must have open hearts, because if our hearts aren't open, if they're clogged up with grievance and unforgiveness and hatred and hatred and bitterness and strife, we will not fare well when those energies hit. That's why people have strokes and heart attacks and all sorts of things. That's not the only reason, for heaven's sakes, but it's one of the reasons. Because when that higher energy hits, if you don't have some place for it to be anchored and received, then, of course, it hits a log jam, and that's not a good thing. Same thing with the brain. We have to expand our capacity to put aside what we think is the truth and realize, it says in the Bible that if all of the things that Jesus said and taught and did were written down, there would not be enough room on the whole planet to contain the books that could be written. And when he looked at his apostles shortly before he ascended, he said, I have so many things I want to teach you, but you're not ready to receive them. So he is speaking. He's never stopped speaking. He's speaking in your heart right now. He's speaking through the Holy Spirit within you, through revelation, direct revelation. Open your ears and listen. Spend time listening. Don't do all the talking. Let him get a word in. And that word might sing and ring through you as great ecstasy and bliss. And your body might rock back and forth. And you might just sit there and the tears just pour down your cheeks. And maybe you're just drinking the nectar of that new wine that he speaks of, the wine of the Holy Spirit. And that is a true communion. That's the Holy Communion. That's eating the body and blood of Christ in the holiest of sacraments when you can partake of the light and the sound of the living God within you and be in that divine state of complete absorption and complete communication and communion and at one-ment. Sai Baba has said that happiness is union with God, and that there's no happiness greater than contentment. So if you want to be truly contented, if you want to be truly happy, if you want to have the peace of God that passes all understanding, then spend that time in Holy Communion. Really allocate a specific time each day to be in the presence of the Beloved and sup with him, invite him in, have tea with him, have coffee. Hey, we have morning coffee, he and I, every morning. I love it. And we talk throughout the day. So bring that into your repertoire. Remember that you've come from the highest throne worlds of God, through the office of the Christ, through the order of Melchizedek. Line up all those lineages now. Some of you through the Avatar lineage, some of you also through the Mystical Traveler or Mahanta lineage. Some of you through the Master Power, as it's called in the Sikh lineages. These are all sound current lineages. Some of you through the Great White Brotherhood and the Mystery School traditions. Some of you through the Ashtar Galactic and Jupiterian and Victory One fleets and commands. And others of the Confederation. Some of you through different orders that I haven't even gone into. There are very many orders and lineages and offices. Maybe I will get into that in another show. But I just wanted to give you your major upline points, those diamonds. See them all aligned right over your head, coming right down through the center of your body. Anchor them. Breathe them right down into your feet. See yourself standing as a column of beautiful, golden, iridescent, sparkly, platinum-sparked light. Say, I am an ambassador from the divine throne worlds. I am a member of the office of the Christ. I am a lover of the beloved Jesus the Christ. I am a member of the priesthood of Melchizedek. I am a soul who has come through the lineages of grace and light. You can add your own spin on where you think you're connected in there. I come to Earth to serve through the Ashtar Galactic Command. I have come to serve all life. I am a guardian of the light. I am love in action here, cooperating with the Ashtar Command. I am dedicated to the Kingdom of God upon Earth, interplanetary fellowship, and universal peace. And that I am. I am that I am. Eheya Asher Eheya. In that way, you see, beloved, you will come into that pristine alignment. You will feel it as such a solid anchoring, and then you just need to move that column of light out wherever you go and know that you are the light of this world. You are a city of lights upon a hill. You are the old hermit holding the lantern that stands upon the promontory. You are the promised one. You are the beloved. You are an ambassador of the divine kingdom now being restored upon earth. You are one highly cherished. You are one whom the angels have been appointed to serve. And your way is foreordained before you were even knit together in your parts in your mother's womb. God knew you. God called you. God appointed you to a great destiny. Ask God for your highest destiny. Don't settle for anything less. Be the greatest and the best that you can be. Don't waste your time in things that are not of the eternal. There's no more time left for that. Now is the time for the things of God and for the establishing of His full sovereignty upon this earth. Do not worry about the dark forces. They are like gnats. They are like grasshoppers before us, and we can surely overtake them. Don't worry about anything. Just keep your eyes upon the Lord, and you will be in perfect peace. Have faith and absolute, active, proactive trust as you step forward and manifest the things that God is doing through you. You just have to show up and be willing. It is done through you. And I'm so grateful to have the privilege and honor of speaking of these holy and sacred things to you, my brothers and sisters and fellow co-workers throughout the world. God blesses and loves each one of you, and you are a blessing. Baruch Hashem Adonai, blessed is the name of the Lord. Those of you who may like to contact me, you can click on my show. It will take you to my webpage, and there's a phone number and my email. These shows are all archived. You can download them on your MP3 or your iPods or whatever. And I try to cover as many topics as I think probably aren't covered over the airwaves that we all need to know to be more empowered, proactive, centered, and divinely oriented in these times ahead. Again, the message is from the Ashtar Galactic Command, and I do represent the higher throne worlds of God. I do consider myself an ambassador of those throne worlds, and you can too. I've simply chosen to choose back, and you can too. To center yourself and to come into the presence of the sound current, you can chant Hu, Anihu, Yesh Yua. Any of those will bring you into that beautiful resonant field that we call the divine sound current. Sit and chant for a little while, and then focus in the center of your head and listen to the sound. You will take different manifestations. While you're listening, look in your third eye, see if you can see color. When you see that light blue or purple, follow it. That is the spiritual traveler who's come to take you and teach you soul transcendence so that you can transcend all of the illusions, all of the snares of the lower worlds, and again return your remembrance to the home which in highest truth you've never left. You just believe that you did. But now as you return your holy remembrance to what you are forever and where you are forever and who you are eternally, the peace of God will once again be with you. We at the Ashtar Command are always overlighting all of our beloveds in service, and all people of light we consider our very own. The Order of Melchizedek is the Good Shepherd. It's represented by the Shepherd's Crook and the Shepherd, whether it's in the Eastern tradition as Sri Krishna, Gopala, or in the Western tradition as Jesus the Christ. I don't know why we call it Western. He's actually an Easterner. Let's bridge them both together and just say we are of the Order of Melchizedek, whatever school of consciousness we have come from, whatever tradition we have walked. If we walk in the love of God, we are the anointed. We are the Christed ones. We're the ones who've chosen back to walk the infinite way. Blessings and grace to you on behalf of the Ashtar Command, on behalf of my beloved twin flame, Lord Ashtar, on behalf of your beloved twin flames, and behalf of the forces of light throughout the galaxy and the omniverses. And